if I may take your permission, Panchatattva Prabhu, I'd like to... I've been reading consecutively in the second canto. Just like to pick up where I left off. And so we'll read, and it's chapter 7 is scheduled incarnations, and the section begins with 23, 24, and very conveniently it's on Ram's appearance, or the incarnation of Lord Ramachandra. So I'll read the translation and purport, text 23. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary expansions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency Sita, under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharath. He entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother, Ravana, who was very materially powerful with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. And I very much like the focus that Srila Prabhupada places in the purport. It's just clarifying what who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Sambandha again. Purport. Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers, namely Bharat, Lakshman, Shatrughna, are his plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators, harumph, on Ramayana, who present the younger brothers of Lord Ramachandra as ordinary living entities. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramachandra is the incarnation of Vasudev. Lakshmana is the incarnation of Sankarsana. Bharat is the incarnation of Pradyumna. And Shatrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha, the expansions of the Personality of Godhead. Lakshmiji, Sita, is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga, like some commentators present. Durga is the external potency of the Lord, and she is the associate that she is associated with Lord Shiva. So now we know who's who. Next paragraph. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, the Lord appears where there are discrepancies. In the discharge of factual religion, Lord Ramachandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers, who are expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and by Lakshmiji Sita Devi. Paragraph. Lord Ramachandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasarath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances. And the Lord is the ideal son of his father, as the ideal son of his father carried out the order, even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya, one of his younger brothers, Lakshmanaji, desired to go with him, and so also his eternal wife, Sitaji, desired to go with him. The Lord agreed to both of them, and altogether they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramachandra and Ravana, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana, along with his kingdom and family. Final paragraph. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant to be worshipped by the living being, along with her husband, Sri Ramachandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but, on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram, and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists, who are after opulence and material prosperity, may take lessons from the Ramayan, that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravana. Ravana was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom Lanka into pure gold or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramachandra and defied him by stealing his wife, Sita, Ravana was killed, and all his opulence and power were destroyed. The last paragraph is one sentence long. Lord Ramachandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kaleshaha, or master of all opulences. Kaleshaha, master of all potencies, in the word for word. The value of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing authentic commentary in disciplic succession from Srimad Bhagavatam is an opulence that we at times kind of take for granted, but it's a nice thing to not take for granted. During this period of time with Ramayana, during Ram Navami, I've been speaking on Ram's Leela, and I've come across a lot of people that know a little bit of something from here and something from there and something from here and something, and they're happy to speak about something from here and something from there, it's inconsistent with these understandings. You know, both even the Leela, what to speak of the renderings of the Leela. You know, therefore we can understand something or other. In the beginning of the ninth canto section of Ram's Leela, Ram's Leela is so very important that even here in this second canto, where each of the forms of the Lord, one verse is cited for Ramachandra, there's four or five verses that are cited. It's just so prominent. And in the ninth canto, Shukadev Goswami says that when speaking about Ramchandra's Leela, I will only make reference to those versions that are authorized. And the inference is, even 5,000 years ago, there were a lot of them that were not authorized. And also the inference is that there are multiple authorized versions. And those multiple authorized versions are not verbatim copies of one another. So there, in other words, there are slight variations of one another, and yet still authorized. Just like in the next verse, text 24, Shukadeva Goswami describes the means by which the ocean boiled. And here in the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, in an authorized presentation, is saying that by the heat of the angry red-hot eyes of the Lord, the ocean became hot and boiled. In Valmiki Ramayana, it's Ram fired arrows into the ocean and it became red hot and boiled. So there's a variation, and both are authorized. Well, how can, was it this or was it that? Our acharyas describe that when the Lord makes his appearance in this world, he makes his appearance in such a way that there's a, Prabhupada used the word spool, there's a unfolding of his pastimes with a certain pattern, and for sake of enjoyment there's variety in the detail. As Prabhupada said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. And so the Lord really knows how to enjoy better than anybody. And so there's variety. But then there's a general pattern that his lila unfold. And so there are different accounts, authorized accounts of the appearance and disappearance of Sita, the appearance and disappearance of Radha. There are different ways in which the Lord and his associates appear and disappear. And then, so there's variety within authorized renderings of the Lord's lila. And then there's unauthorized ones. And the unauthorized ones are abundant, and the unauthorized ones are often very popular. Now in certain circles this would stir the audience, but so our audience is not going to get stirred by the statement that Prabhupada cautioned to not read Tulsi Ramayana. You know, some people, that's what they grew up with, and they don't want to part with Tulsi Ramayana. You know, specific individuals that I've had this conversation with, and you know, what's wrong kind of dialogue with the person, because, and they're like, yeah, I'm habituated to Tulsi Ramayana and I'm going to continue reading Tulsi Ramayana. There's reasons to not read Tulsi Ramayana, and within this past 10 days, one person who grew up reading Tulsi Ramayana and then came in contact with Krishna consciousness expressed, you know, the very simply, Tulsi Ramayana in a number of places puts Krishna and Shiva on the same platform. And Wednesday night there was a little discussion about people that like to do that, and after the class, people that like to, you know, that's all one people. We don't discriminate kind of people. We don't say this one's better, they're all equal, they're all supreme. We're Hindus. We don't make distinctions like that. We respect everybody. So we respect everybody, and we respect that there's differences. And so in Tulsi Ramayan, for example, that's absent in Valmiki Ramayan is when Ram wants to cross to Lanka. Of course, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he doesn't need anything, doesn't need to undergo austerities, he doesn't need the help of Varuna. Valmiki Ramayan says he sat by the shore of the ocean and fasted for 3 days. In the Tulsi Ramayana, it says he went to a Shiva temple and worshipped Lord Shiva for 3 days. So, I've heard it at least a dozen times. Why do you say that Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he went to go worship Lord Shiva in order to get the benediction of Lord Shiva to cross the ocean? And other kinds of things like that. So, while not fully understanding the position of the Personality of Godhead, one can make unauthorized renderings of and commentaries about the pastimes of the Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Prabhupada, first paragraph, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his associates are Vishnu Tattva. And persons, the many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators who say otherwise, we need to understand that it's unscrupulous and ignorant. That is directly stated. It's very clearly stated in Valmiki Ramayana as well. The devas went to Lord Vishnu and Vishnu indicated he would appear in his four forms of four brother, the Chaturvyuha features, and directly in Valmiki Ramayana, but somehow others take it that, well, Ram is, you know, he's up there, the others are jiva tattvas, or what up there is, you know, how they understand that. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, the opulences of the Personality of Godhead in full, or here, Kaleshaha, the master of all opulences. Lord, this is Lord Ramachandra. So how can one properly understand the details of the Leela, or even, you know, keep me in the ballpark of understanding the Leela of the Personality of Godhead if one doesn't understand it to be the Personality of Godhead? And the associates of the Personality of Godhead. Just same idea in the next purport, or very close. The sentiments of Ram are not mundane, although to a worldly inspection they may appear to be quite mundane, as lamenting for the loss of Sita, like an attached materialist might lament for the loss of a dear loved one. So it's very, very simple, that the logic that Prabhupada presents here, two things, that what comes from, what appears in this world has its spiritual counterpart. Like there was a question, where does pride, if there's pride here, where do we find, how does pride manifest itself in the spiritual world? There's anger here, does anger manifest itself in the spiritual world? If there's feelings of separation here, how does feelings of separation manifest itself? So, as Krishna is the Personality of Godhead, his sentiments are sublime and pure, absent the contamination we find here. So since people only know what's here, they can only imagine or deny that such things exist in the spiritual world. When we see the leelas of the Lord, we can not just imagine or deny, but we can have it disclosed, revealed to us. So the logic goes, the sentiment of anger that Ramchandra felt was not a mundane sentiment of anger. How is it possible that anger boiled the ocean? So that anger is not a mundane kind of angry like we might get, hey man, and you know, push our chest out and make a fist and intimidate the other party. That, and being pushed by, you know, negative feelings. So in the case of the personality of Godhead, his sentiment is so absolute, he can boil the ocean with his red hot eyes just by glancing upon the ocean. So the sentiment, the impact of the sentiment is not mundane. The sentiment itself is not mundane. And extending that logic, the other sentiments of the Lord are not mundane. The sentiment of separation, the sentiment of friendship, the sentiment of love, the the leela of the Lord, what he does and what he says and what he feels are all transcendental. So by hearing, reading, narrating, remembering these characteristics, it puts us in direct contact with the absolute truth. Then, very nice. Prabhupada goes to the verse, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. So he is the Nitya amongst Nityanam. He's the supreme eternal amongst many eternals. So the eternal, the many eternals, reflect only those sentiments of the supreme eternal. He writes, due to such oneness between, and there's a qualitative oneness between the plural living entities and the one supreme living entity who is maintaining them all. So there's a qualitative oneness. Due to such oneness, both the eternals constitutionally have a complete range of sentiments. But the difference is that the sentiments of the chief eternal are different in quality from the sentiment of the dependent eternals. So they may appear to be, but there's a qualitative difference. They appear to be like one another. The sentiment of a man losing his wife. The sentiment of a man who wants something and another is not cooperating with him to help him with that something. The Lord doesn't need anyone's help. He doesn't need to fast. The Lord doesn't need doesn't need anything. So why? It's Leela. And he's inviting Varuna to assist him, but Varuna, not recognizing the supremacy of the Lord, doesn't come. Varuna seems to be a little bit, you know, in the Indra department. It was the assistant of Varuna that then kidnapped Nanda Maharaj, or dragged Nanda Maharaj underwater for breaking the codicil at an improper time. There wasn't an improper time, it was a proper time, and this agent of Varuna miscalculated and made a big offense. And Varuna duly apologized to the personality of Godhead and worshipped him. But there's this pride thing that seems to get in the way of some demigods sometimes, and people with opulences similarly, sometimes some pride is there, and the Lord wants to check that pride. So his becoming angry with Varuna was to curb his pride, and it worked. He came before the Lord with folded hands and apologized for his misconduct and not recognizing who Ramachandra was. The impersonalists, very, very carefully Prabhupada made sure that we understood what impersonalism is and how it screws up everything, and how to separate impersonalism out of our proper scriptural understandings. So the impersonalists will see havoc in this red-hot sentiment of the Lord because they want to see negation in perfection. That's their neti-neti process, not iti. So what is perfection? Well, it can't have any anger, because anger is imperfect, it's bad. So then Ram exhibiting anger, well, he can't be, there's something less than perfection in Ram. And therefore, yada, 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 that's what Ram is. So the Supreme has to be without mundane, and the Supreme is without mundane, but the Supreme is with transcendental. So there's this issue, nirguna Brahman and saguna Brahman. And there's the whole, on this side, the Vaishnava commentators describe nirguna saguna in one way, the impersonalist nirguna saguna in another way. Prabhupada wants us to have a very clear understanding of how the impersonalists look at Ram's Leela, and how a Vaishnava looks at Ram's Leela, and how the Vaishnavas look at how the impersonalists look at Ram's Leela. Because the Lord is absolute, the impersonalists imagine that in the absolute, the sentiment of anger, which resembles mundane sentiments, must be conspicuous by absence. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they do not realize that the sentiments of the absolute person is transcendental to all mundane conceptions of quality and quantity. Had Lord Ramachandra's sentiment been of mundane origin, how could it disturb the whole ocean and its inhabitants? Can any mundane red-hot eye generate heat in the great ocean? These are factors to be distinguished in terms of the personal or impersonal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. As it is said in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Absolute Truth is the source of everything, so the Absolute Person cannot be devoid of the sentiments that are reflected in the temporary mundane world. Rather, the opposite. The different sentiments found in the Absolute, either in anger or in mercy, have the same qualitative influence, or in other words, there is no mundane difference of value because these sentiments are all on the absolute plane. When the Lord exhibits anger, it's giving purification and upliftment. When he exhibits mercy, it's giving purification and upliftment. But it's just the particular living entity receives one or the other because of their regard for him, and he's reciprocating with their regard for him. But he's all pure and all perfect, absolute. And so the impact upon the recipient of the anger or the mercy is upliftment and purification, because he's the supreme pure, absolute. Such sentiments are definitely not absent in the absolute, as the impersonalists think, making their mundane estimation of the transcendental world, just like someone was sharing with me, you know, when Sita spoke an angry manner and an insulting manner practically to Lakshman. You know, Sita made a boo-boo, and so because of her boo-boo, she had to be kidnapped for 10 months, put in the penalty box for, you know, exhibiting a sentiment that was offensive to Lakshman. As if saying her sentiments were mundane. Because she slipped from, you know, a high position to and fell to a low position, she had some karma. Of course, there's a transcendental way to look at that Sita was performing a lila to educate the world. And that is, whoever you may be, just like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila, when Sachi became unhappy with the Dvaita Acharya, because through the Srimad Bhagavatam and spiritual teachings of Advaita Acharya, Vishwarup left and took sannyas. So she was thinking, my only remaining son, Nimai, may do the same because of the influence of Advaita Acharya. So she felt and spoke offensive things towards Advaita Acharya to teach the world that even if you're Mother Sachi, you can't do such things. But the personality guided will be unhappy with that. The danger in persons who like to read here, read there, check this out, maybe there's another version. It's like swimming in water with sharks and piranha fish. You know, not a good idea. Not a good idea. Because so many however well-intentioned it may be, what's Prabhupada's language? Unscrupulous and ignorant commentators may provide renderings that, you know, well, what about that? Well, that sounded interesting. And, well, that was different. I never heard that before. And, you know, the curiosity seeker gets gobbled up. So, if you can have the association of Shukadeva Goswami, who can provide one with the variety amongst authorized renderings of the Leelas of the Lord, who would want to go somewhere else? And we're instructed by Rupa Goswami, don't go somewhere else. Don't read so many books for the sake of embellishing presentations and scripture so that the audience will think, oh, he makes such nice renderings of the presentations. This is explicitly prohibited by Rupa Goswami. So we should be careful in that regard, and we should understand through the very protection-oriented purports that Srila Prabhupada is giving, how to understand properly the position of the Personality of Godhead so that the leelas, the words, and the sentiments exhibited by him will not be thought of in our minds in some ordinary way. Ram is the Personality of Godhead, and his brothers are the Personality of Godhead, and Sita is his eternal consort. She's not a living entity. She's not Durga. in some of these other things that these people say. Ram is not on an equal platform with Lord Shiva. These are all not only incorrect, they're offensive. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Yes.
I have two questions. One question in regards to understanding the view of the personality of God. On the one hand, we hear that the personalists, their approach to understanding the absolute is making it the process of negation. They consider that the lila of Ram or Krishna that can't indicate that they're the absolute truth. It must indicate that they're somehow or other covered by the laws of nature because they're feeling these sentiments, process of negation that can't possibly be there. On the other hand, we say that lila of becoming angry at the ocean, Rama staring at the ocean, it's not cooperating, so he boils it. That it's, in one sense, it's the play of an actor on the stage. The implication, and it could be taken wrongly as such, is that Ram isn't really feeling that. Or he's not really feeling the loss of his wife. It's just an act. How do you understand this?
Well, he's feeling. Transcendentally. So it's absent the contamination. So what's a feeling that's absent contamination? We don't know what that is because we only know contamination. So we can do the frog in the well program of imagining, is it like this? And we'll never understand that way. But there is a way to understand, and that's through service and devotion. Then we can understand what the transcendental sentiment of anger or transcendental sentiment of feelings of separation might be like. You don't have to trash the whole idea of using our experience as the yardstick for measuring things. The contaminated experience, sense perception or mental states, and it's something else. It's not. It's beyond neti. But neti alone leaves you with it's nothing, and we have a different approach, and that different approach is with faith. It's not only something. It's the supreme something, of which this is but a reflection, and contaminated, perverted reflection at that. So that's the real substance. So what that substance is can be accessed. What Brahma says before this chapter commences is one can't know these things except limitedly and except through the medium of bhakti and except as the Lord discloses them. So our approach is with faith, supported by reason, but with faith, the Lord is the Supreme Person. And we can access Him to whatever degree there is access, we can access through devotion and devotional service. And then, with that condition of heart, the Lord discloses. But He's feeling. Real feelings.
The second question is along the lines of authority, as you pointed out at the beginning of your presentation, that there are authorized versions of the Ramayana, and then there are unauthorized, and the tendency, which we see quite often in this material world, is unauthorized presentations tend to outnumber the authorized ones.
Uh-huh.
Your talk about Ramayana was so nice, and it took us on a tour through various aspects the section and so forth. What is your source for Ramayana? Which sources do you consider that are extant?
Valmiki,
But where, have you read Krishna Dharma's presentation?
Yes.
Do you think that that's a good one?
Yes. Yeah, I have some, I don't know the person, you know, it certainly helps to know the person, but I have some degree of confidence of his integrity, you know, that he's very careful with, you know, being a follower of the genuine thing, you know, that he's faithful to Prabhupada and is faithful to that which is, you know, Valmiki Ramayana. And same with Mahabharata. Now, which is the real Mahabharata? Please stand up.
I understand secondhand that one of the things that frustrated me is someone who's Vivekananda Maharaj in trying to present Mahabharata was that there were so many interpolations and versions, and it was kind of hard to find something that was actually an authoritative presentation of Mahabharata.
And even that which goes by the name Valmiki Ramayana, there are different versions of Valmiki Ramayana. So which is the real Valmiki Ramayana? Please stand up. You know, it's problematic.
Well, then there's another question. When you approach the Valmiki Ramayana, which one?
Yeah, that's what I just said. That's what I just said.
Is there one you
read? Oh, me personally?
Yeah.
Yes. And it's that, I think it's the 3-volume with the orange cover, and I think the publisher is Gita Press, but I'm not sure. And I'm not really well versed enough to say too much more than that. You know, the English is like it's doing headstands, reading a book, doing standing on your head. Wow.
There's this real popular 12-volume version of the Mahabharata, the new edition.
I have that.
There's that place in the Mahabharata where young Raja, in form of Karna, is instructing, Yudhisthira's answering Raja's question.
Yeah.
Young Raja's questions. And there's that famous verse, I was just despondent to find in that version that instead of Prabhupada's explanation or translation of that verse, the Prabhupada's import in his is that the real solid truth of religious principles is found in the hearts of self-realized souls. In the Ganguly edition, it says something to the effect that truth will come or something is hidden in the caves.
Is hidden?
Hidden in the caves.
Hidden in the cave.
It was like way off in the left field somewhere.
Therefore, the following, we're very blessed to have Srila Prabhupada's association. Question?
I have a couple of comments. Like you mentioned, the argument usually to read more than Srila Prabhupada has given is for preaching purposes, so to be able to make a more nicer presentation.
Well, Rupa Goswami warns against that.
And is that tendency of the Avar wanting to collect more and more?
I don't know what name you want to give it. It's contamination. It seems to me that it's two things. It's not taking full shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna through the disciplic succession, or it's like an unchaste wife who's looking at other men, something like that. And for what reason would one want to attract other than attract to purity? If your product is purity, who needs something to embellish purity? It's, you know, it's a shelter in something other than purity that I, you know, this will attract people. You know, I can think of a lot of things that would attract people that we have no interest in doing because it will attract people. You know, Prabhupada's many times spoke like that. I don't care if, you know, my interest is not many followers. My interest is to present the message of purity, intact, and whoever comes doesn't come. I will not deviate. There's easy ways to attract a lot of people. Going on all the time. Something else?
Is there any value to a person who, let's say, know the story in a different way, but to remember the leela of the Lord, thinking, let's say, that Lord Rama is a normal human being?
I'm not sure what you're asking. Is there value in knowing the leela in a different way? What does that mean?
There's value in remembering the Lord's leela is purifying. You mentioned that.
Yeah. The consideration is the source. So one can remember the Lord's leela. That's like this, you know. Supposing we're protected, Panchatattva and I are protected in that we didn't grow up hearing so many things. We grew up, you know, hearing, you know, Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck. and then we heard Krishna. We just heard Krishna from, you know, the right source. But somebody else grows up hearing gobbledygook, and then they got to clear all that gobbledygook. You know, we were spared from gobbledygook. Another kind of, you know, it's easy to forget Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. It's easy to just take shelter of Krishna in a pure way. So there is, it's my answer would be the same thing that I said previously in different words, but it's the same thing. The position of a faithful disciple is faithful. So what does it matter what else is out there? If a woman is married to her husband, she doesn't, you know, what other qualified husbands are out there? It's not the mindset of a faithful. So to receive what we want to receive is that which will awaken our pure love for Krishna, and within that is this faithfulness and chastity to the source from whom we're hearing. So if we can, from our acharyas in our disciplic succession, like, you know, commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this topic, Jiva Goswami, primarily it should go to Prabhupada, and the purpose of that would not be to embellish the presentation as much as to appreciate how Prabhupada presented those understandings in such a simple form. He pablumized those presentations. So now we get the pulp of what he pablumized. But it's the essence is intact. It adds to the appreciation of, rather than adding to the embellishment of. But I, you know, it, at least that's within our disciplic succession. Because when we take shelter of the current link in disciplic succession, we're connecting ourselves to the whole spiritual family of disciplic succession. So there are predecessor acharyas. We can take shelter of them and pray to them for their mercy and, you know, hear their explanations. So it's like when we hear the grandfather speak, we can recognize, oh, when my father speaks, there's the message that he heard from grandfather. So having respect for grandfather, great affection for grandfather, doesn't at all, in any way diminish the shelter taking in father. But you go here, go there, then it's, you know, for the purpose of remembering the pastimes of the Lord. I would say, you know, you're putting at great risk this position of faithfulness. I've been trying to share that with a couple of people the last couple of days. Yes?
If I ask Guruji this question in a little different way, or as you were mentioning, in India, of course, I wouldn't know. I grew up with Bhaktivedanta. In India, they grew up with probably sometimes different unauthorized versions of the Ramayana and so forth. Even though those things are unauthorized, because they're hearing the name of Rama or whatever, is there any benefit?
Yeah. Yeah, there's benefit and there's confusion at the same time. So they're better off from the benefit, and they're carrying a detriment by the confusion.
Yeah. And of course, in coming and preaching, oh yes, I know Krishna.
And even though you don't have that cavalier attitude, but it, you know, there's a conception that's rattling around as they go towards Krishna in Krishna consciousness. And some persons it's easier, some persons it's very difficult, and some persons it's just, you know, without even thinking about it, they do it. Carry another conception, and therefore repetition, to help clear out the misconceptions. Yes, there's definitely benefit. Prabhupada spoke about that. They're growing up from childhood in hearing about Krishna, hearing about Ram. Yeah.
Some people understand the same line of thought. Yesterday, we were talking about this. A PhD student who was doing PhD in Kanto, Bhagavatam, or any of the Prabhupada's book.
Yeah.
What would they do? They just repeat what Prabhupada said, or how they do they do some mental speculation as well? Or how, what is the input they give in addition to what's already there?
Well, you know, when you're in the scholarly world, you have to do a certain amount of tap dancing. So, but the, it doesn't. It's not that you know, a speculation is necessary. So they can go to the commentary. They if their PhD supervisor approves their plan for their PhD, they can simply go to the translations and the commentaries and express what it says. That's what, for example, Radhika Raman did with Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha. So it's just, it wasn't Tattva Sandarbha, it's one of the Sandarbhas. It was just a few number of verses from the Sandarbhas. We didn't have to do, you know, there's to a certain degree, you know, in this word is expressed by scholar blah 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 over here this way, and scholar blah 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 over there that way, so that you know, that's the tap dancing. But then, you know, this is the rendering. Baladev Vidyabhusan gave his commentary, it says like this, and this is the stronger explanation. That doesn't require speculation. It there, to a degree, one has to, in PhD world, one has to show that you are in touch with other things. This authority, this scholar, that scholar, somebody says this, somebody says that, and then you debunk it. It's what goes on. And the reason for debunking is da-da-da-da. It's not just because Baladev said, but the reason, what's behind Baladev's presentation is right because. It's stronger because. yourself. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.